We read this morning Matthew 21, verses 1 through 17. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, they sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughters of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And they said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Thus far we read the inspired scriptures this morning. The text for the sermon is verses 15 and 16. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and they said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Out of the mouth of babes, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes children say the most profound things that cause even adults to exclaim, Where did you come up with that? Out of the mouth of babes. Sometimes children say the most hilarious things that make grown adults laugh and laugh hard, out of the mouth of babes. Sometimes in a kind of youthful innocence, children will say things that are embarrassing to their parents. Things that are true, though, out of the mouth of babes. Sometimes they say some of the most beautiful and heart-touching things that melt even the hearts of men, out of the mouth of babes. But when the scriptures speak of babes and what comes out of the mouth of babes, the scriptures speak of God's praise. For God has ordained that from the mouths of babes and sucklings, his praise will come forth. And though children say all kinds of things, and little children say all kinds of striking things, the desire of godly parents is that from the mouth of babes and sucklings comes praise, praise to Jesus, which is praise to God, out of the mouth of babes. It was Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday. If you look on the calendar, you will see on April 13, perhaps, the words Palm Sunday. Well, it was Palm Sunday in Jerusalem. Jesus had just rode into the city on a donkey. He had now set behind the ordinary work of his ministry, and he was now in Jerusalem for the last week of his life. And at the end of the week, he would be nailed to the cross as the Savior of his people. Having come into Jerusalem, and now it was probably the next day, he goes into the temple. And there he would encounter angry priests and praising children. And that gave him occasion to quote from the Psalms and utter these words, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise." And it's that word to which we turn our attention this morning. The theme of the sermon is praise perfected of babes. So notice three things. First, the meaning. What does that mean? In the second place, the significance of that. And then third, our calling in light of that truth of the scriptures. The meaning, the significance, the calling. Praise perfected of babes. When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased. Jesus not only did wonderful things, Jesus himself was wonderful. He is the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, and he is the promised royal kingly son of David. So that though Jerusalem had not had a king for over 600 years, now they have a king, and his name is Jesus, and he's come riding into the city as the king, the promised Messiah of old. He was not only a king, but according to chapter 21, he was a meek king. Meek, he came riding on that lowly donkey, and he didn't come into the city to take his seat upon some golden throne. He came lowly on a donkey so that by the end of the week, he could offer up himself as a sacrifice upon the cross for the sins of all of his people. He was meek and lowly and humble. He was wonderful. But because he did not come to establish some grand outward earthly kingdom, he would not meet the expectations of the people in Jerusalem. So that by the end of the week, they would say, "Of this king, we have no king but Caesar. Let him be crucified." That will come out of their mouths at the end of the week. But now, at the beginning of the week, and here on Palm Sunday, he comes riding into the city, and they're shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." And though that praise would prove to be hypocritical from many of them by the end of the week, nevertheless, Jesus was getting all kinds of attention, and they were shouting for Jesus. He was wonderful. Hosanna to the Son of David, God's King. Not only was he wonderful, he did wonderfully. He went into the temple, and without any soldiers or helpers or weapons, he drove out all of the buyers and sellers. They all recognized his authority, and that was striking to all of them there in the temple, his authority as he cleansed the temple. And then into the temple came the blind, and they walked out seeing. And into the temple were carried the lame, and they walked out. He did wonderfully. Well, there were some there in Jerusalem who hated Jesus, and now their hearts were growing glowing red with anger and jealousy. They were the chief priests and the scribes. The chief priests were not simply priests. They were the chief priests, the highest ranking priests of the temple. And though there had not been a king for some 600 years, they probably didn't mind, because they were now the highest ranking officials in Israel, the chief priests, and they saw this Jesus as a rival. For the last 3 or so years, he's getting all this attention with his miracles and preaching, and the throngs are following him. And now he comes into the city, and all the crowds before and after him are shouting out. They saw Jesus as a rival, and they hated Jesus. And the word of the text at the end of verse 15 is that they were sore displeased. Literally, they were indignant. They were indignant. Why? According to the text, because they saw the wonderful things that he did, and now this, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The children were crying. They were shouting out, not weeping tears, crying. They were shouting out, and the tense of the verb indicates a continuous activity. They were continually shouting out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And they were doing this in the temple, and the temple was in the jurisdiction of the chief priests. They ruled the temple. They governed the temple. And here in their temple were these children shouting out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," and what disrespect. But it was more than that, and it was especially this. They were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David," concerning this Jesus, whom these chief priests and scribes hated. These children were giving praise to Jesus. "Hosanna to the Son of David." Hosanna means save, we pray thee. Save, we pray thee, like the royal anthem. God save the king. God save this king. Preserve this king. Establish this king. Keep this king. What king? This king, the Son of David. They called Jesus David's son. That means he was the promised son out of the Old Testament. Hosanna to this Jesus, the Son of David. And this caused the chief priests to become indignant, because these children were praising Jesus, the Jesus whom they hated. So they say unto Jesus, verse 16, "Hearest thou what these say?" Do you hear what these children are shouting in the temple? Do you see this? And Jesus says, "Yea," and gives his instant approval, "Yea." And then, "Have ye never read, ye chief priests and scribes who are to be holy and faithful and pious, and you work here in the temple, haven't you ever scribes? Haven't you ever read? Don't you read David? Don't you read the Psalms?" And there's an implied rebuke here. You're so concerned that the temple's being defiled, and you're so full of horror that David is being dishonored, the mighty king of Israel is being dishonored, because the children are calling me, the lowly, despised prophet of Nazareth, the Son of David. What a dishonor to David. You're so concerned about the temple being defiled and David being dishonored, but haven't you ever read? Don't you office bearers read? Don't you read the scriptures? Don't you read the Psalms? What a stinging rebuke to the office bearers of Israel. Don't you men read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou, God, hast perfected praise. And that's the end of the matter. The next verse says, and they left, and he left them. There's no indication of a response from the chief priests and the scribes, that's the end. He silences them immediately. And you see what he does, Jesus? He goes back to David. He goes back to the 8th Psalm written by David and inspired by God. Have ye never read? And he stands with David and he stands with God. You expect me to reprimand these children for praising in the temple? I will not, because I stand with David and I stand with God. And haven't you read what David wrote? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou, God, hast perfected praise. Jesus gives his approval of what these children are doing and silences the enemies. Out of the mouth of babes, praise is perfected. Jesus is not quoting the Hebrew Old Testament. He's quoting Psalm 8, verse 2. Psalm 8, verse 2 reads, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. But he's not quoting the Hebrew Old Testament. He's quoting the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, which was the Septuagint, the translation, the Bible that was used in this day by Jesus and the apostles, the disciples. They used the Septuagint. And that explains the slightly different wording. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. And Jesus says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. But when Jesus utters these words out of the Septuagint, and Matthew takes them now and writes them down by inspiration, Matthew 21:16, they are now part of the inspired scriptures. And part of what Jesus is doing is giving a commentary, an interpretation of Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. How do we understand that? What exactly does that mean? Here's the way to understand it. It means he's perfected praise. How does he ordain strength? By perfecting praise. And that God does. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he perfects praise. And that's a lovely concept. To perfect here doesn't refer to moral purity, but it refers to making something full and complete. To perfect. Now, let's use a couple of illustrations to make this clear. There's a woman in the kitchen. She's standing over the stove making some soup, and she's stirring it, and she takes a test. She tastes the soup that she's making and says, it's fair, but there's something missing. And she adds another ingredient and puts it in and keeps stirring and takes another taste and says, aha, just perfect. Now the taste has been completed and it's full. Without that ingredient, something was missing. Now it's full. It's complete. It's perfect. There's a musician, suppose. He's writing some musical composition. He's got all the notes written out and all the instruments figured out and gets his little symphony and they play it out for him and he's off in the background and he's listening and he says it's fair, but no, there's something missing. We need something heavier, something lower and deeper toward the end of all those refrains. And he goes back and he rewrites it and adds some notes and adds a few tubas. And now they play it again. He stands in the back and listens. And there it is. And now the full sound. The sound of the music there has been completed. It's been made full by that addition. It has been perfected. Without those tubas, it was not complete. Now it's been perfected. It's been completed. God in heaven has ordained praise for himself, and out of the whole creation comes forth praise to God. And as it were, God's in the heaven and he bows his ear down to the earth and he listens and he hears all of the praise coming out of the earth. And there's the whole creation with the stormy winds that do his good pleasure and the chirping fowls of the air and all of it. It's praise to God who hears it in heaven, but then especially out of the church comes forth praise as the people of God say, Hosanna to the Son of David, and praise the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's old men, and there's office bearers, and middle-aged men, and there's mothers and women, and God listens, and it's fair. But something's missing. Something's missing. And God ordains children then to bring forth His praise, so that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings comes forth praise, and God hears it in the heavens and says, perfect. Perfect. That completes it. That makes it whole. That makes it full. He saved Adam and Eve. He recovered them from their fall and gave them new life. And they praised Him, the God of their salvation. But something was missing. And God gives a Cain, little baby boy Cain, who will prove to be carnal seed. And then comes little Abel, and then little Seth, brought up with covenant parents. And that perfects the praise. Praise for God is perfected by the babes and sucklings of the covenant. But know very well what is the content of the praise, because it's so important. The content, that which the children sing, is that exactly that which so deeply angered the chief priests and scribes. It's Jesus. Hosanna to the Son of David. This is the King, the one who's come into Jerusalem and by the end of the week will lay down His life as a sacrifice upon the cross for the sins of all of His people and defeat and overthrow the devil and His whole dominion through that crucifixion, so that the children sing praise for Jesus, the King, the Messiah, the Lord. And that perfects praise in the eyes of God. So you have a congregation worshiping and singing, and there's men and women and old men and old women, and even kings and princes in high places and office bearers and rich and poor. But God is not satisfied until there are children praising, because He has perfected praise of babes and sucklings. Lovely it is. Significant it is. In the first place, this is significant that God has perfected praise of babes, because it indicates that God saves children. God saves children, making them instruments of His praise. Who were these children crying out in the temple? Well, they weren't babes and sucklings. These are babes and sucklings. These little girls, babes and sucklings, but they don't sing. They don't sing forth His praises. These children in the temple came walking into the temple and they were singing. They weren't little babes. They were singing. And they had heard the adults earlier singing, Hosanna to the Son of David, shouting it out in the streets. And now they come into the temple and say the same thing. And very likely some, maybe even many of these children were carnal seed. They were carnal seed. Even as their parents, many of them, and they were not offering praise from the heart, pleasing unto God. But it's also true that there were very likely the elect, the spiritual seed. Of course, there were the children of God among them there in the temple. Those little children, among them God had His children, so that Jesus could take the words of Psalm 8 verse 2 and apply it to this situation. God had children there, His children, praising Him with their new hearts. But in the end, the precise age of these children and the precise identification of their parents spiritually and their own spiritual identification makes no difference, because Jesus authoritatively quotes Psalm 8, verse 2. And the truth of God expressed in Psalm 8, verse 2 is that His praise is perfected out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. His praise, genuine, heartfelt, sincere, God-pleasing praise is perfected. Of whom? Of babes and sucklings. Now, we all recognize that little babes suckling at their mother's breast do not sing and bring forth praise. But the emphasis of God in the scriptures here in speaking of babes and sucklings, really the same thing, babes and sucklings, is that these are young children. That's the emphasis with those two words, young children. God has perfected praise of young children. The children of believers in the covenant, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, God perfects praise of them. And once again, because Jesus does apply this truth to the children in the temple, we have no reason to doubt that though some of those there were God's children singing praise to Him. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has perfected praise. That is significant. Why? Because it indicates that God saves children, little children. God will bring forth praise from His children. God will give the King Jesus Christ to die for children. God will put His Holy Spirit in the hearts of children. God saves them in His covenant. That's the outstanding significance of this passage. God saves children who bring forth His praise. It is astounding, therefore, that in Christianity at large, there are so many of the Baptist persuasion who steadfastly refuse to recognize the place of children in God's covenant. The ongoing controversy with the Baptists is over the issue of whether or not God saves children in His covenant. The issue is not baptism. The issue has never been baptism. The issue is not infant baptism. And if the issue is made infant baptism, the issue has been skirted. The issue is this. Does God save children? Does God incorporate children into His covenant? Does God give the Savior to die for children? Does God give the Holy Spirit to regenerate children and make them alive? Does God put His praise in the hearts and in the mouths of children so that out of children will come forth God-pleasing praise? That's the issue. And then it is a foregone conclusion that if children are saved by God and incorporated into His covenant, they not only may, they must be baptized. If they have the greater salvation in God's covenant as children, then they may, they must have the lesser, the earthly visible sign which symbolizes the reality, the token of the covenant, which is baptism. And the word of this text in the scriptures is that God perfects praise out of the mouth of babes. So important are young children that it's not the elderly. You might think it's the apostles. It's not the apostles. It's not fathers and mothers, but it is young children from whose mouths God perfects praise. And to whoever among men will dare say to the children of believers in the church to whom God says, "In you I perfect my praises," who will ever dare say to those children, "You have no place in God's covenant. you may not receive the sacrament of baptism, or even worse, we will regard you as little vipers until you become of age and give a credible confession of faith. To such, Jesus says, have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has perfected praise. The significance is this: God saves children. Secondly, this is significant that God perfects praise of babes because it indicates that God will be praised by the lowly and the humble. Why babes? Of all those in the covenant, why babes? Why does God perfect praise of babes? Because look at these babes. They're helpless. Absolutely helpless. They can't do anything for themselves. And God will be praised by the humble and lowly, not the proud and the arrogant, and not the chief priests who make more of their title chief than they do of Christ. God will be praised by the lowly and humble, perfectly pictured by a little babe, a little suckling, the helpless, the spiritually helpless. God perfects praise of babes. That's significant because it reveals God is pleased by the praise of the lowly and the humble. Third and finally, this truth is significant because through this means of babes praising Jehovah, enemies are stilled or silenced. What is interesting is that Jesus does not quote all of Psalm 8, verse 2. Jesus quotes the first part, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. And that's all he says. Perfected praise. The rest of the verse, though, the rest of the thought continues, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And what Jesus did not say there, quoting the rest of Psalm 8, verse 2, actually did then right there before his face unfold. And look what happened. The enemies were stilled. They were silenced. And that was the end of the matter. The chief priests and the scribes, they were silenced. The enemies are not the great murderers of society and the adherents of false religions and the wicked tyrants on their thrones and all manner of ungodly people running around in the world. The enemies are the enemies of Christ in the nominal church. They are the chief priests and the scribes. They were the enemies, enemies of Christ. Those are the enemies, those enemies of Christ in the nominal church. And the praise that comes forth from the mouths of babes stills them, silences them. That's a striking truth and worth a great deal of pondering as to how that gets manifested today in the church. Maybe the voices and doctrines and arguments of the enemies of Christ in nominal Christianity have somehow a powerful influence upon you. And perhaps in some way you're being tempted to turn maybe to some different doctrine of marriage or of the end times or of the church or turn to some practice coming out of a false doctrine, but a practice that would please the flesh. Temptation and doctrines and positions and arguments, and they're having an influence. And God puts that to silence and stills those enemies and those temptations when you give your ear to the children of Zion singing praise to their King. That rekindles in our hearts a love for God and a commitment to His Christ. A powerful means God uses. Maybe you're being pressured and feeling pressure somehow. and having doubts and fears about the truth you confess and the life to be lived and the pressures arising out of enemies of Christ and nominal Christianity. And there is the danger that one will be swayed and compromised. And then one listens to the children of Zion singing praise to their king, and it softens the heart and rekindles love for God so that enemy voices and doctrines and positions are and pressures are stilled. And maybe even this, that God uses the praise coming from the mouths of little covenant children for the conversion of an enemy of Christ. A man is an enemy of Christ and the truth of Christ, and he hears babes singing the truth of Christ, and God uses that to still his opposition to Christ and bring him to conversion. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise and stilled the enemies. In light of this glorious truth, with all of its significance, there is a calling laid upon us this morning. If it is true that God perfects praise out of babes, then we have a calling that's clearly implied in the text. Number one, have children. Bring forth babes, bring forth sucklings, because praise of God is perfected of them. The church needs babes and sucklings. We want the name of God praised and the name of Christ praised. And we love the Lord our God and Jesus Christ our Savior. That's our confession. Well, how will we show that? In many different ways. And here's one way. We will have, as we're able, and as God is pleased, many children. Why? Because God perfects praise of them and we want Him praised. Have children. This adds to the covenantal urgency and calling of believers of the church to have children. Now, of course, it's true God may not grant children. This is all according to His will. He may not grant children. And if that's the case, then we firmly believe that the praise coming from the husband and wife in the home is sufficient for God. And there will be praise. That's how powerful His grace is. Praise for Him, even among those who want children but can't have children. Praise for Him, and that's sufficient. Ordinarily, God gives children, and out of the mouths of those babes, praise is perfected. If that's true, let the babes and sucklings come. God grant children. Have children. Number two, sing Jehovah's praise. Because God perfects praise of babes and sucklings who grow up to mimic. That's the truth of this chapter of the Word of God. The lesson of the text is that the children will repeat what the parents and adults say. Out in the streets, the adults said, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And now in the temple, the children are saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." There's a covenantal calling in the Scripture for all parents to teach their children and teach them songs, the songs of Zion. But that's not the calling of this passage. This Word of God in Matthew 21 says to the parents and all older ones and adults and teenagers, sing Jehovah's praise, because the little children are going to copy and mimic and repeat and make sure the songs in the home and out of the radio and the car and out of the various devices are not God dishonoring songs which darken the hearts of adults and will certainly be mimicked and repeated by the children. True even for teenagers with younger siblings. In the car, at home, God dishonoring music is bad for you. But if you're listening to it with your younger siblings, they're going to sing those words because children mimic. They copy. Therefore, our calling is sing Jehovah's praise, speaking of the Son of David, our King, so that the children can repeat those words. Sing Jehovah's praise. Number three, what is our calling? Let them sing praise. The children, the young children, let them sing praise, for God has perfected praise of them. What's interesting is that in the text, we do not read that the children were singing in the temple. We do read that they were crying in the temple. And that word crying refers to a shouting. That's what they were doing. They were very loud in the temple. It was loud. And here's the hypocrisy of the chief priests and the scribes. A little while earlier, you've got merchants shouting as they're buying and selling and cattle lowing and sheep bleating in the temple. And the chief priests are fine with it. Jesus drives them out. And then little children start shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, and the chief priests are irate. It was loud. They were shouting. It was loud. Little children, they sing. They sing loudly. Now, sometimes when children get older and older, they become more self-conscious. And then there's a kind of reservation that one might carry the rest of his life. Kind of reservation in singing. What will others think? Or what if I'm not so beautiful in my singing? A reservation. But in the youngest children, they all line up and the veins of the neck are bulging. And the face is red. And the voices are straining. And they let it out. Crying. Shouting in the temple. Singing. Loudly, let them sing. Let them sing. Do not silence the children. Do not stifle the children. Let them sing Jehovah's praise. It is wickedness, the wickedness of the chief priests and scribes, to stop and silence the children whom God has ordained to bring forth His praises. Let them sing. And the importance of this calling, then, is that we do not keep children out of the worship service. Let the children come to church and join the assembled congregation for worship and singing God's praises. To all of the churches that assemble rooms in the back for children's church and take all of the children out of the sanctuary to have their children's church way in the back. Jesus says, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings? God has perfected praise. Let the children come to worship with the congregation, for congregational singing is incomplete without the children lifting their voices. Now, of course, this is not to dismiss at all any kind of practical common sense, because out of the mouth of babes and sucklings comes more than praise. Loudness. Shouting. Talking. Crying. We need to be reasonable, to have some common sense. And when the whole of the worship service is being disrupted by a little child, we need some common sense, and maybe it's time to go out. Or there's a nursery, and we utilize the nursery, but that's not the main word. The main word is, let them sing. Let them be a part of the assembled body gathered for worship so that the children can bring forth the praise to the God who has perfected praise of them. Let them sing. In catechism class, in the Christian school, in homes, in our church, of course, and even in the shopping cart, in the grocery store. Mother's busy. She's checking her grocery list. going up and down the aisles, looking for this, looking for that. What's a little child supposed to do the whole time? He's sitting in the shopping cart. Oftentimes he sings. And he sings those words he learned in the home from his parents and older siblings. Let them sing. Now, of course, also there's a kind of common sense and a respect we have for the public. We don't want to create obnoxious disturbances in public places. But the little children singing in public, let them sing. And if anyone is annoyed or questions, then maybe it would not be improper to say, have you never read? That out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, our God has perfected praise. Let the children sing. Fourth and finally, our calling is hear them sing. Listen to them. Consider this. If the divine heart of God is not satisfied, as it were, until children sing and bring forth praise to the Messiah, then would it not follow that our hearts will not be fully satisfied until we hear the children bringing forth praise? Would we not expect that though there's praise in our hearts, the praise will be perfected and made full and completed as we hear children singing? Maybe your heart doesn't have the joy you would like it to have. Maybe you're not as thankful to Jesus as you ought to be. And there are means God uses to rekindle in our hearts a love for Him and a gratitude. And one of them is children singing. Jesus' praise. Are you down? Down. You need to listen to God's children sing. Come to a program. Stop all the busyness of life. And let the little children in the home sing and just listen to it. And when the door is closed and the babe in the bedroom in the darkness of the night is singing, stop and listen. And if you don't have your own children or grandchildren, the wonderful news is that you belong to the body of Jesus Christ, and all of these children are ours. Listen to them sing, and their opportunities. Praise is perfected of babes. And then you take the home for the elderly, the nursing home, the village in Redlands, a home like that where all of these elderly people are. And some of these people are so weak and so frail and sit in wheelchairs with their head bowed down, almost no life left in them. What do you do to generate some enthusiasm? You may bring them a gift that's not going to do a whole lot. Not at this part of their pilgrimage. And you may bring this or that, but this is what you do to make that heart alive again in that old frail body. You take some children and you give them a Hosanna to the Son of David and bring those children into that nursing home and say, sing. And then you watch the elderly. And only imagine their hearts, how they're rekindled in love for God, and the place comes alive. That's not surprising, because the God of heaven and earth has ordained strength out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. That is, He's perfected praise. What makes the heart complete and full? From one point of view, the praise of the babes. Hear them sing. And now, beloved in Lord Jesus Christ, if our hearts are pleased to hear children singing, how much more is not God's heart pleased? He ordained this praise. And how much more is not Jesus' heart pleased? He died to give us something to sing about. And how much more is not the Holy Spirit pleased? He is the power whereby we, and even children, bring forth praise. Praise. Perfected of babes. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the life and ministry of our Savior, how devoted and dedicated He was. We will consider that again this evening as we look at that last week of His life, the suffering. And yet, at the same time, what wonderful lessons He continued to teach, though most of His ministry was behind Him. And now He has given to us these beautiful words we've considered this morning. Lord, may they give to us gratitude in our hearts for who Thou art and the wonders that Thou dost perform on behalf of Thy covenant, even in the hearts of little children. And Lord, save our children and put Thy praise in their hearts. This we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.